Tonight, James Battery backs up an old apartment that he doesn't even live in. Mike really has to take a poop. And we stuff Skylar in a garbage bag.
Hey, this is SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is his cohort, his companion, his sidekick, and the person you really turn in to listen to, Couch Potato Mike. How are you doing this week, sir?
I would have been doing better had it not been raining this morning.
Yeah, that kind of fucked up our plans. See, we actually had plans this morning to go and get in an early round of disc golf. I mean, the last couple of days, the weather was predicting that Sunday was going to be beautiful, the temperature was going to drop, and it was just going to be a fine, fine day to get out of the house and finally get some of those athletic things going on. And then the sky fucking opened up and drowned everything. And it's still drowning everything.
Yeah. It started raining last night, and it's been raining since now, and it's going to continue raining until this afternoon.
Yep, it's a swamp out there.
Yeah.
Totally,
and I mean,
fucking swamp.
I would consider playing in some light rain, but then just the rain and the sodden in mud pits grounds will be.
Good God. I mean, the three closest courses to us, Buckner, it's going to be muddy as hell. We've seen how muddy it can get. Then you've got the one out in Clarksville. We know it gets muddy.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And then fucking Kingston Springs. Good God, it's muddy on a dry day.
Yeah.
That especially when it was like fucking hole like 6 or 7 or something, which is like a mud pit.
Right.
I don't think we've ever been on that course with that hole being dry, so.
No.
Get away, Nimbus. Go, shoo.
So, that's out of the deal. You had planned taking your kids to the zoo. The rain might spit on that.
Yeah, no, we've already given up on that. We never even told the kids about it.
Yeah.
We don't tell the kids when we plan. We don't tell the kids when we plan stuff like this. Because
Tennessee.
Yeah, and I don't want to disappoint them.
Right. And our plans after that was to go to an orchard. It'll be muddy, and there may or may not be apples left to pick.
Yeah, that's and it's a hell of a long drive away from here. So that's a long way to drive for what's possibly a very unrewarding and irritating, dirty experience.
Right. So, like any good prepper, we've been working on backup plan Bs and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do... No, my kids, they already... Well, my daughter, she asked if we could do something together today as a family, even if it's something inside the house, like play games or something.
So yeah.
That's how I'm going to be spending my day, playing some board games with the kids. Ugh.
Sounds fun. We haven't nailed down plans yet, but we're still thinking.
You can come play board games together with us, you know.
Yeah.
You know, have one big whole big thing.
Right.
That's why they put so many like tokens in a Monopoly box. Of course, we won't be playing Monopoly. You hate Monopoly.
And there is an asshole Monopoly strategy I've considered, though.
There's actually a Monopoly Cheaters edition that they've released. It's a game where you're trying to cheat. You play the game as normal, but you try to steal money from the bank. You try to screw people out of their rent. And if you get caught, there's a handcuff attached to the board that you have to cuff yourself, that you have to cuff yourself
to. That's funny.
To. No, it's actually a pretty, I was really tempted. I went through a while there where I was just like getting Monopoly games left and right.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Who knows?
But I own a bunch of Monopoly games, and I haven't been tempted to get another Monopoly game in quite some time.
Right.
This one's actually tempting. It just looks like this might be the fun version of Monopoly. We did have that one version, Monopoly Millionaires, where the point is not to bankrupt each other, but just to be the first person to become a millionaire. And my son exploited a loophole in that game so badly that he beat at least 2 full-grown adults and his 2 much older siblings. And somebody else, by only buying 1 property and then never buying anything else and then just letting money come into him as he kept passing go and all that stuff. And he became a millionaire.
Yeah.
It was exploiting a fatal flaw in that particular game.
I mean, it was a blind run to get to $1 million. Like, had the game went on a couple more rounds, he would have been in trouble. But he made a beeline for being a millionaire, and it paid off.
He straight up did. Hello, Nimbus.
Oh, you'll notice something different?
Yeah, you can see us.
Yeah, yeah, we're recording this. It may or may not work. If you see it on YouTube, then it worked.
This is Nimbus.
So I've showed the guys Nimbus. This is Nimbus.
Nimbus is asshole kitty.
He kind of is.
Nimbus is asshole kitty. You should be.
So, Mike, what is the topic of this episode? We'll introduce the topic, then we'll do some quick housekeeping because we bantered a little bit, but yes. That's the way we do things here around here.
Today's topic is apartment and tiny house prepping. Prepping for those of you out there, for those of us in here, that are preppers, want to be prepared, but don't have a whole hell of a lot of space to do it in.
Right. So I put up this little thing on Facebook, on the Facebook group Survival Punks, asking for show suggestions. What do you guys out there want to hear?
Yeah, you guys. What do you want to hear, you guys?
One of the people suggested they want to hear tips for apartment prepping. And for a good portion of my early prepping, get off that table, Nimbus. Early prepping career, if you want to call it that. I was in an apartment. So I have some experience with apartment prepping. You guys can't see that. He runs up the ladder hilariously.
Oh, God. He damn near fell.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about apartment prepping. And now when I moved out of an apartment, I moved into an even tinier, tiny house. So I still know something about prepping for smaller spaces. I don't have that luxury of some of you guys with huge houses out there to store all my stuff. So I got to be a little bit more creative.
Right.
If you have show suggestions, yes, you can go to Survival Punk's Facebook group or the MeWe group or anywhere else.
MeWe.
Give me a suggestion there. You could email me, james@survivalpunk.com, and I'll get to you in there. Or you can call our phone number. Let's see if Mike remembers that off the top of his head.
It is
615-657-9104. Yes.
That's 615-657-9104.
Yes.
615-657-9104. Did I get it that time?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go then.
Yeah, so that's the phone number. You can call, leave a suggestion, and you will be on the air. Not only will I see your voicemail, or I'll hear your – well, no, literally, I will see your voicemail. My voicemail transcribes everything, so I'll probably read it before I listen to it.
Which adds up to hilarity.
Yes. So not only will your question be answered on the air, but you'll get to hear yourself on the air. So little brownie points. And if you want free shit – well, I got something else to talk about before we get to the show, real quickly. Okay. But I'll finish. If you want free shit.
And who doesn't want free shit?
Who doesn't? Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to Google Podcasts, preferably iTunes. Leave us a rating and review.
5 stars or whatever the hell's the highest thing they have over there, because I don't go over there.
Yeah, leave us a review. Even if it's a poor review and you want a sticker for some reason because you're a mental case, I'll send you one. Leave us a rating review. Send me an email with your username so I can go verify that you did indeed do it. And I'll send you a free Survival Punk sticker.
Because why not?
Yeah. So, oh.
Oh?
Groundbreaking news.
Da-da-da-da-da!
This is the first time you're hearing about it, so mostly I'm just telling you, but the listeners can hear too. Remember when I launched the Survival Punk Army? Yes. One guy signed up for the monthly thing, and since I launched it, he has steadfastly been a member of the Survival Punk Army.
And we couldn't even get
him. And we've never heard from the guy.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else, Matt and Jeff and all the other members of the Survival Punk Army, I'm friends with them. I talk to them on a fairly regular basis. This guy, I don't know if I have permission to use his name, so I'll just call him D.
D?
His name has a D in it somewhere.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so D signed up for Survival Punk Army for the $5 membership. Never talked to me. I found him on Facebook recently. Like, he joined Survival Punk's group.
Oh, really?
So I sent him a friend request, and I was like, are you the Survival Punk Army member that's been with me since day one? Yeah. I'm like, give me your fucking address so I can send you some shit, dude. All this time, and I'd never heard, like, I don't know. I just find it weird that, like, I haven't got email. Maybe they got caught in the spam filter. I never got them. Like, maybe the guy's like, what an asshole. He never responded to me. I never remember seeing one. So
yes, but if he's listened to the show, he knows that we have talked about him because He's the great enigma of the survival punk army.
Yeah. Enigma is solved. I now know him. And
that's pretty cool.
Your stickers will be, you'll be getting your stickers soon, and possibly even some other stuff.
The mystery's gone.
I might have some freebies to throw in.
Freebies.
Yeah.
I will autograph something for you. I can do that, you know.
Yeah. If more of our listeners start playing disc golf, maybe we'll start, maybe we'll get some custom stamped disc.
Oh my God.
James and Couch Potato Mike, and we'll sign them, yeah. The Survival Punk. Ooh, the Survival Punk stamp would look amazing. Anyway, we were...
This is what it looks like when we ramble.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of tend to be pretty... move around jittery.
He's the only one that gets the jazz hands, though.
Yeah, jazz hands. 10 minutes in, we need to get the star show. So...
Show started.
Yeah, let's get into the show.
Let's get it started.
Yeah. So, if you're in an apartment, you're in a tiny house, the very first thing you need to do is accept that you're limited.
Yeah.
You just don't have like a 2,500 square, you know, foot space area to play with. Right. You don't have 5 guest rooms, you know. You know, and in an apartment, you don't have like, you don't have a lot of outside area, and there are some things you can do, here and there, sort of guerrilla gardening things. You know, I know, I heard about one apartment complex, like in Georgia or Florida that, you know, cause a lot of times apartment complexes will have like, they'll have flowers, they'll have hedges or something out there.
Right.
Because the flower of the sweet potato is so pretty, they planted sweet potato hedges to have a pretty flower.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the no thought made about the whole fact that it was making sweet potatoes under the ground.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah.
You know, and some places have walnuts or whatever. And so that's there's parts of that that you can kind of get tricky. My apartment, outside my window, I didn't have a balcony. I had, like, a little row of, like, dirt with, like, hedges on one side. And, like, my spot was sort of bare grass. You know, I put a raised bed garden out there.
I thought you were about to say my spot was bare grills.
My spot was Bale Grill. Yeah.
It drinks its own pee.
What was that? Believe in something, even if it means drinking your own pee.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The Nike memes.
The Nike memes are the best, guys. Yeah, so you just, if you get too strung up on like what you don't have, one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned in life came from a fucking fantasy fiction series.
Really?
Yeah, it was, and so the guy is a huge libertarian. Like, if you read his books, towards the end, he starts getting really libertarian preachy, and I'm like, okay, I fucking get it. I believe the same shit you do. Drop it and move on, dude. Like, it got kind of preachy at the end.
Good God.
But the Sword of Truth series, with Robert Rall and all that stuff, there was like the Wizard's Rules. So these rules that wizards live by.
Okay.
And Seekers. I can't remember if this was a Wizard's Rule or a Seeker's Rule, but one of them rules was to focus on the solution, not the problem. That gets so many people strung up. They're like, if you devote all of your mental power to focusing on the problem, you know, I can't do this. This is in my way. This is blocking me. Instead of, you switch off of that. You start thinking about, I could try this. I could try this. You start thinking that way. Hope that mindset flip completely changes things.
You know, and it's interesting you actually say it like that because it makes a lot of sense. There's a show that's got 2 seasons on Netflix called Canada's Worst Drivers. And one of the things they preach on that show is don't focus on where you don't want to go. Like if there's an obstacle in the road, and you focus on that obstacle, you're going to hit it. Instinctively, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to drive straight at the thing you're trying to avoid. You look at where you're supposed, you look at where you need to go, not where you don't want to go.
Right. And there's another thing like that I came across that was, sometimes when people, like in their given field, like the thing that they're working on, like their passion, whatever they're doing.
Right.
They tend to try to focus their efforts on getting better, the aspects they're the worst at, instead of like becoming a genius master of the thing they're better at. Let's take disc golf, for example.
Okie dokie.
So let's say that I was a natural talent at drives.
Okay.
I could drive the disc really well. I sucked at putting.
Right.
It's good, and it would behoove me. And Serenity said that from now on, every time I say behoove, you guys should take a shot. It would behoove me.
Episode.
Yeah. Serenity also said that about watching disc golf. Every time they say the word hyzer, you take a shot, and I'm like, you'd kill people.
Oh, God.
So yeah, instead of like, it would behoove me to get better at putting. It would. But if I'm doing that at the point of not getting any better at driving, then that's, yes, fucking me up. If I can get so good at driving that my drives park me where I don't need to putt, and I practice enough that my putts can help me, then that's more beneficial than putting a lot of time in things that you're not so good at. And the same thing with tiny house prepping or apartment prepping. It's better to put your time into things that you can do instead of what you can't do. Makes sense? You look a little confused there.
Yeah, but if you don't ever give time to the stuff that you can't do, how are you ever going to get better at it?
Well, I'm saying you should take time to get better, but don't become like obsessed about it. Don't spend all your time on it.
Gotcha.
You know?
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
So focusing on what you can do.
Yeah, basically. No, you were pretty much describing Happy Gilmore's strategy. Because he sucked at putting on the show. Then he got that hole in one. He's like, oh, that was a lot easier than putting. I should just try to get it in one shot every time.
Yeah, isn't...
Dude was like, good plan.
Yeah, if only, right?
Ugh.
Just ace every shot ever. Just fuck it.
Oh, my God. Then it'd be people watching us on the videos.
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
So focus on what you can do. There's a lot of space in your apartment that could go for storing food or other preps. And I'll talk about some clever hiding spots in a second, but focus on that. If you have a balcony, there's a lot of space out there that you can use for things that you don't necessarily want to store inside. You can get a propane grill and keep a few tanks of propane out there.
That's a good clean burning fuel, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. You can keep, if you want to do charcoal, you keep charcoal out there. I would rather use propane because in an emergency, like you could have one of those buddy propane heaters. I've got one for my tiny house that can run on a 20-pound propane tank. If you've got two 20-pound propane tanks outside, then in an emergency, you can bring that in. Like, say the power goes out in your apartment in the winter, you've got heat and you've got backup propane.
We've got a heater that runs off one of those large propane tanks. I don't know where it is. I think it's in one of our sheds.
Oh. I know out in that one, you've got a kerosene heater, but it's missing a part to make it work.
Yeah. No, but we have an inside heater that runs off of one of those large propane tanks.
Those are not, I've got one.
Oh, it'll heat the fuck out of the house too.
Yeah.
Just sitting in the one location. You don't want to get too close to it because it was actually supposed to have a cover on it. A screen or something that keeps you from actually being able to touch the flames.
Yeah.
Ours doesn't.
Yeah.
It was given to us like that. So, you know, just watch your distance.
Watch your distance. Keep the animals away.
Oh my God. Flaming cats running around.
Grill some hot dogs on it.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, you can focus on that. You can have some plants out on your balcony. You know, you can have little container gardens. You know, there's a lot of space inside that you can store things at. So focus on what you can do and not, you know, if you go to the forums, forums are still a thing. If you go to Facebook and look at the Facebook groups, you know, you'll see people bitching, "Oh, I live in an apartment. I can't do this. I can't do that." What can you do? And how can you do things? That's what we need to focus on.
Are you an American or an Americant?
Exactly. Since we're on video, you just saw Mike spit on himself.
I did.
Next. Yeah. I'm sure I get hyped up sometimes. Like, I'll hop up in my seat and then start like, ah. Anyway, so focus on what you can do. Like you said, you can do the propane out there. You could have a water filter. I mean, depending on how your apartment's set up, you can probably throw in some like clever hiding way of doing some water catchment.
Question: do they make like a heating blankets that run off like batteries?
If you've got an inverter and a battery backup, you can do that. Good point. Good call out, Mike. So when I still lived in my apartment, I built my battery backup system, which was just basically a battery charger, a marine battery. I've got an article. I will link to it in the show notes. But yeah, and I just kept it plugged up all the time and had the power go out one time. So what you do is you've got your inverter hooked up to it. You just plug yourself into it, turn the inverter on. It's not running off the wall anymore.
Right.
You know, and you can just still run your stuff from that. Like my power went out and I had, a lamp, my TV, the internet, like my Apple TV, like, you know, everyone else was sitting at home in the dark. I had the lights on and was watching, movies on Netflix.
Plus you actually did the reason I specifically asked about the heating blanket is because at one point, this dude right here, he was trying desperately to get all of his bills down. And he realized that during the winter, he lived alone in this apartment. Did he really need to heat the entire apartment? Because it wasn't the entire apartment that was complaining that it was cold. It was just him. So you started heating yourself.
Yeah.
You started cutting stuff off like crazy, and you got your damn electric bill down to a number that I just didn't think possible for a living person.
$10 for 1 month in the winter.
That's fucking nuts. Lowest my electric bill ever gets is like $90.
And it wasn't like I was miserable. Like it was a pretty decent month. I mean, it wasn't terribly cold that winter either, so.
No, you got lucky. Well, you got lucky as far as it not being that cold, but still, you pulled some shit, dude.
Yeah. And that's a prep in and of itself. By saving all that money, more of that money went into my preps, went into me paying off the debt that I had back then. So, and, you know, it's an interesting thing is when you're in an apartment, you're not sort of isolated. So you're sort of insulated from some of the problems we have in the rest of the world. I mean, obviously you're not having to take care of your yard. You're not having to do this shit. But if you're not on the bottom floor of an apartment, there are houses, there are units below you, above you, and beside you. And if all of them people are blasting their heat, you're getting some residual heat.
You are.
The hallways of apartments usually are kept heated.
Oh, yeah.
So you tend to have like this bubble of heat and or cooling in the summertime around you. In the wintertime, obviously, heat rises. So if you're not on the bottom floor, you've got the person below you heat. They're rising up into you. The hallway heat start being pulled in. All you've got to do is just sort of keep the cold air from coming in your apartment that much. You cover your windows with, like, plastic or something, double insulation, you're good. So focus on what you can do. There are a lot of things you can do. You know, and you know, like I said, there's a way to cut the bills, and you're not spending money on, as a homeowner. Mike can attest to this as a homeowner.
You said homo again,
Mike. What happens as a homeowner when you wake up and your kitchen sink exploded, and because your jackass dogs bit your pipe and water's going everywhere?
Well, we had to run outside and fucking shut the damn water off,
and then
fix a bunch of shit.
Yeah. We had to go to Lowe's. We had to spend money. Mike had to spend money out of his pocket to buy parts, to come home, to fix, to clean up all the mess. And, you know, it's a worthy trade, you know. But as an apartment dweller, you make a phone call. My shit broke. Come fix it. You're not spending any money out of pocket.
No. You don't know when it's going to be fixed, though.
You don't know when it's going to be fixed. I mean, for God's sake, my AC went out in the summer one time. I didn't have air conditioning for a month.
Yeah, see?
You know, so that AC unit that went out, that was also the heating unit.
Oh.
So when winter came, I'm like, hey, so the AC unit still broke. They brought me two janky ass, like, space heaters.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. I was like, well, these are for emergencies because I don't use the heat in the winter anyway. But still, I ended up having to use them just because that particular winter got a little cold and I had to turn them on a few times, but yeah. You know, I'm just trying to let you know that instead of focusing on the things you can't do, focus on the things you can't, like, get out of that whole grass is greener on the other side mentality.
Make the grass greener over here, guys.
Exactly. So, clever hiding spots.
I've been waiting for clever hiding spots. No, I've seen a lot of tiny homers, you know, do the clever hiding spots, because when you're working on limited space, you want, and I love these things, you want a lot of multitasking things in your lives.
Right.
You want stuff that could serve multiple, multiple purposes.
Like, no unitaskers here, boys.
Like, you know, you want, I've seen people, like, make chairs out of, you know, like, basically, I've seen people make chairs and benches and stuff out of, like, storage-like things. Like, where you open up the seat and you can put shit in there.
Right. Super clever. Fold down, like, your window sill is, like, a storage unit underneath, and you've got a, like, a sort of flat board on the wall that folds down and become your table. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of space-saving things. So, like, when I was in my apartment, I had a nice coffee table next to my futon that I would put my coffee on in the morning when I was drinking it. I would set my dinner plates on it. Like, I would set, you know, everything you'd use for, like, a little end table coffee table in the living room. You know what that table was made of?
What was it?
A whole unopened case of MREs covered in a nice tablecloth.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, multiple persons, like, yeah, you know, it looked good. In my case, that nice tablecloth happened to be a plush blanket of Spider-Man. So, sort of nerd there, but... So
basically, your table and tablecloth were actually a blanket and food.
Yes. Yes. Instead of it being wasted space, it was, exactly. It was a blanket and food. It was literally a whole thing made of preps. And since it was a case of MREs, that means it was cardboard.
Yep.
That's burnable material there.
It straight up is.
So, it's like the, do you have assets or do you have, liabilities here? That table, all asset.
Yeah, there was no downside to it.
All asset. So.
The only downside is if you actually had to break into it, your table would start getting lopsided.
You know what? I did dig out of it a little bit and it took a fairly long, because the cardboard is fairly stiff, you know, high quality military grade cardboard. It retained its rigidity fairly long.
I had gotten a small case of MREs one time. My one buddy that's in the Army, he gave them to me. They're gone now. I ate them all.
You know what? We need to... There's a new MRE we need to buy and test.
Okay.
The much coveted, long sought after...
Pizza MRE. I've only heard about it in myths and legends.
It's real now. I've seen some reviews on it.
You need a belt.
That'll accept... This, yes, I will. Mike got me a belt buckle that says cocky with a rooster on it.
Actually, I'm not even sure that is a rooster. I think it's a cockatoo.
Yeah? We're going to say it's a rooster.
Whatever it is. It's some kind of a bird, but it said cocky, which, you know, like, he's my buddy.
Yeah.
It's a place called Gimme a Five. And Gimme a Five is a great place to find prepper shit, too.
It is.
There's all sorts of cool stuff
in there. I found a stocked med kit there one time.
Dude, I found an emergency sleeping bag in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought it. It's over there. I think it's one of those Mylar things. But it's a Mylar thing that you can actually climb inside of instead of just having a blanket lay over you.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty dope.
More space-saving tips. When I lived in my apartment, I had a bed instead of like now where I have a memory foam high-end mattress sitting on the ground in my loft. I actually had a mattress, like a bed frame, mattress, everything.
You know what stuff most, you can put under a bed?
Most beds are just too low to accept a case of water. But they sell extenders, or I found out if you want to do this, if you get a 2x4, cut a little like a 4-inch piece out of it, mm-hmm. and then take a hole saw or a spade bit and just put a divot in so that the legs of your bed sit in it and can't escape from it. You gain enough room on a 2x4, sideways, obviously, to slide in a full case of water.
Sweet.
And that's just that. You know, you can put in a lot of preps under your bed.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so beds tend to be a lot like your money when you get a raise. The amount of money you spend fills the vacuum of that more money. And if you don't strategically put things under your bed, things will unstrategically get under your bed. It will become a reservoir of bullshit and lost left socks.
Oh, yeah.
So fill it up with like, oh, my God, how many cases of water could you fit under a queen king size bed, like several. I'd say it's pushing 20 cases.
Let me see. On our bed, I'd say you could get, and I'm being conservative, three across and probably six or seven down. So, yeah.
Right around 18?
About 18, 21 cases, yeah. I would say.
And then they make those plastic storage bins that are really low profile.
Yeah.
And they have wheels on them.
I've got one. Well, mine doesn't have wheels on them, but I've got
it. It slides fairly well.
It slides very well. I've got all my painting supplies on it.
Yeah. And if you didn't want to do that, it's just high enough that you can fit in cans, like canned goods. So you can just roll.
Oh, God.
Fill up line. Yeah.
Fucking forgot about
it. And since it slides fairly well, you just load that up in there. If your bed's high enough, you could double stack it. But with canned goods, I'd kind of, we don't know if I'd suggest that.
No. If you're a prepper, you know you love canned goods. I mean, it's food that lasts forever.
Yeah. A good DIY project that would behoove you to do. I love that word.
I know you love
it. Build one of those sliding little can cabinets that fits in between the space between your refrigerator and your wall. Most cases, there's perfectly the right amount of space to do that with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, appliance gaps. That's a good job.
There's a lot of other like little appliance gaps that have like specially built things you can fit in there.
Take note. Go around your apartment or your tiny home and look at all the little gaps that are there. You'll notice, I mean, a gap is just another storage space that you haven't used yet.
Yeah. Well, so when I had my apartment,
you will find something that'll fit in a gap.
Yeah. I was a single guy.
Am I right?
So I didn't have a whole lot of need for closet space. And the closet space in my apartment was pretty damn big. So what I did was I moved all of my clothes to half the closet and I put in a fucking like food storage rack, like a plastic sort of like shelving unit, and put all my long-term storage in there. Like number 10 cans, other like dehydrated meals and stuff. What?
What's a number 10 can?
Look at the bottom shelf down there on that white thing. That's actually the white thing that was in my closet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They're the big size cans. Like you see them in like the industrial size can corn and shit.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I got number 10 cans of dehydrated food in there, or freeze dried, not dehydrated. So that's another good spot to put stuff. And then, couches. So underneath couches or, if you're in an apartment, you're probably a pretty cheap, kind of living person. Add futons. There's a lot of room under a futon to have those pull-out storage units again.
You know, this isn't on the list, but as far as food storage and things go like that, I just came up with another interesting idea, and I'll just run this by you and our listeners and all viewers now. So many like boxes, like you'll get a box that'll have food in it. Most of the time the food is actually in a bag within the box. That box is taking up extra space. Take your shit out of the boxes and get a Sharpie and write on it what it's supposed to be if it's not easily recognizable. Because all-purpose flour can look exactly like pancake mix. Just saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for. I throw in weird shit.
Those boxes can be. That's why I like, when you take MREs out on the trail, you can break down a whole giant package of an MRE to fit inside basically that one little sleeve. Like, you can field strip them to fit into, like, that little tiny package.
I still remember the time that we went and did that damn near 10-mile down and back greenway. There's me and my wife and you and your, fiancé. Well, she wasn't even your fiancé.
Not yet, no.
She was still your girlfriend. No, but who would eventually become Mrs. Burnett?
Right.
No, we went, and I took an MRE with me just for shits and giggles. We also stopped at Subway, but I still took that MRE with me. And now my favorite part of that whole thing was that I sat there and I asked Serenity if she wanted a piece of the brownie that I got out of the MRE. And she's like, it's not bad. I'm like, yeah, it's not bad for a 3-year-old brownie.
No.
Yeah, she refused to take another bite of it, but still, I had to do that.
Yeah. She's very peculiar about out of dates and stuff.
Yeah, but that was an MRE brownie.
Yeah.
Those things will last the Holocaust.
I mean, I think they legit have a 10-year shelf life on them, so.
Yeah, but that was only 3 years old.
Yeah, so that's, that's not even expired yet.
I had it for 3 years. I don't know how much older than that it was, but right. I couldn't imagine it much older than that.
No.
It's still well within its thing. I mean, it was in a sealed package, airtight sealed around the brownie, inside another sealed package.
Yeah.
Yeah. I trust every ounce of the food that I find in MREs. It might not all be delicious, but still.
I've eaten some pretty old MREs, and I've never gotten sick from them. The quality does go down pretty bad when they're fairly old.
I tell you, one of my favorite things that I find in an MRE that I rarely ever find in an MRE is like lemon poppy seed cake.
They're the best.
Those really are. Those are like the best fucking things to find in an MRE. I hardly ever find them.
I want
to
go set up one of those like fold out tables and like get a coffee thing like they have the memes on Facebook and be like, have a little sign that says, lemon poppy seeds are the best thing in an MRE. Change my mind. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's my throwdown, like Matt French, Scav, lemon poppy seeds. You know, best thing hands down.
They're trying to get rid of opiates.
What?
Opiates. You know, drugs that
The opiate epidemic that we have in America.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of opiums as prescription drugs.
And opiate like substances too.
Yeah.
Like kratom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know kratom was an opiate-like substance.
It's not an opioid, but it has some opiate-like properties on the neurotransmitters.
Yeah, we all saw how well prohibition worked.
Yeah. I'm telling you. And I know if you want to go back and find it, there's probably a quote from me at least a year ago saying, America will legalize marijuana federally, and kratom will be the new marijuana. It will be, oh, you don't want your kids doing that kratom. Like, it's going to be cracked down on, like, super bad. Like, I've never understood the huge crackdown on marijuana. Just don't understand it. So the crackdown on kratom, I also don't understand it. But I quote me, that's what's going to happen. Weed, legalize. Kratom, outcasts. Crazy drug, can't get it.
No, weed needs to be legalized.
I don't see the problem with kratom, to be honest. I think it needs to be more universally available. It helps. I mean, much like marijuana, I mean, obviously, as a libertarian anarchist, I think they both should be completely legal. You know, it's people are like, oh, but then they'll do crimes. The crimes are already illegal. Yeah. I haven't seen anyone going out there and going on any, like, kratom benders and stealing VCRs.
Well,
they can find one.
Oh, God, I remember this one comedian years and years ago. He's like, we should just legalize everything. Then everybody will have zero interest in doing it. Because as soon as shit becomes legal, there's just something about something being illegal. And that whole taboo thing about it that just makes you want to get it. You want to get it. You want to fucking stuff it in your body.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, we should just make everything legal. It's illegal to smoke, crack, and fuck zebras on the school playground. You kids in? No, fuck this. It's boring. Let's go study.
Yeah. Yeah. Make that the illegal thing.
Oh,
so clever hiding spots. I got, I think, one more clever hiding spot. Before I really want to move on.
Okay.
I have, every time I've had a place to call my own, really, after the debacle of my 19-year-old house that I had, every apartment, every place I've lived in after that, I've had bookshelves with many books.
Many books.
The interesting thing about bookshelves is they're usually a lot deeper than the books are width-wise.
Right.
There's a lot of space that you can have behind the books.
Oh, yeah.
You can line so many canned goods, so many preps behind there. Like, you could, I think I have some, like, AR-15 magazines hidden behind, some books, to be honest. You know, canned goods will fit back there. You could probably take a case of water, take it apart, and just start lining up the backs of the books with mini bottles of water.
Now, one thing before you just start cramming every fucking thing, including the kitchen sink behind your books on your bookcase, make sure you check the quality of your bookcase. I mean, bookcases, on the whole, are designed to hold books, which can be heavy, but are usually
very heavy.
Which can be heavy, but not as heavy as, like, canned goods and things full of water and stuff like that. And a lot of modern bookcases are made from, like, balsa wood and other weird shit like that, like your Walmart bookcases and stuff like that. So you just want to make sure that your shit's going to hold. If your shelves are already bowing down from the weight of your fucking books, I wouldn't recommend sticking a whole lot more shit on that.
Right. You can get better quality bookshelves, or there are things you can do like I do to reinforce the bookshelves. Stronger wood and some long screws.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just fucking take out that balsa wood shape and get yourself a fucking board that's actually made of, you know, like one solid piece of wood that came off a fucking tree. Stick that on there. It's going to be a lot more sturdy.
Yeah.
I can hold a lot more shit.
Yeah, put some brackets on it. I mean, there's things you can do to reinforce that so that it can hold the weight of it. There are, if you have more suggestions on clever hiding spaces.
He said bookshelves that fell apart in the drive over.
Yeah. The Walmart bookshelves are cheap and they last a couple years. And if you try to move them, you're better off throwing them away and buying new ones.
Yeah.
Hell, before Serenity moved in, I tried to move one of the bookshelves and it fell apart and I had to rig it and reinforce it. And that's why I don't have another full bookshelf over there.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, it fell apart and I had to do some jiggery pokery.
I mean, within a couple of years span there, you moved twice, so.
Yeah.
How long were you down in Duck River? Were you there a solid year?
No. No, a couple months, several months.
That was a pain in the ass.
Like January to like somewhere, maybe June, maybe not even that long.
No, we had to rent a U-Haul, and then we had to move all of his shit from his apartment in Ashland City way the fuck out to Duck River. It took three trips.
Yeah. Oh, it took more in my car, too.
Yeah. But it took fucking three trips. And then there was the move from Duck River to here, which was that easier seeing how you just picked up the whole fucking house and moved it? But then again, you had to empty the house out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to move the house with a bunch of shit in it.
Yeah, it was more expensive, but more of a pain in the ass. We may have executed it a bit easier. There was nothing left behind that time for sure. We packed up everything. So yeah, it wasn't that bad.
No, but there's just something about knowing that you never actually have to move again.
Right.
That's why I'm glad I own my house.
I know. So.
It's not the best house in the world, but it's mine.
It's yours.
Yeah. We never actually have to move again. If we ever move again, it'll be because we want to.
Right. We're doing. So next on the list, I've got.
Storage units.
Yeah, there are. I'm just trying to check the time.
Touched on that a
little bit. 41 minutes. We're doing good. I was surprised. I thought we'd be behind. Anyway, storage units. So like we said, when you are in an apartment, your space is limited, but there are some options. I know reading the 299 Days books, the real Glenn Tate and the guy Greg, whatever the guy's last name was in the book series.
You said the real Glenn Tate. That's not even his real name.
No, it's not. Whatever his real name is.
We're talking about the fake character that's based off the fake character that's based off the real person.
Right. So when he started prepping, he was kind of keeping it a secret from his wife because she was.
Yeah, she was, you know, a normie, and he was afraid she'd look at him like a tinfoil hatter.
Yeah. So he just went and got in a storage unit and was just prepping up that storage unit.
I know, and he did shit on the sly there because they weren't supposed to have food items in there either.
Yeah.
So he was bending the rules there all the hell.
Right. So that's another thing. Like, if you want to rent a fairly cheap storage unit, preferably a climate-controlled one for a lot of this stuff.
You can find them sometimes for cheap. It just depends on what area you're in. But
yeah.
We live in a small town, and I know of a storage place out here.
Exactly. Not even that far.
No, it's just in downtown Charlotte.
Yeah, so get one of those, and you can store your bulk items there. You know, obviously, when the shit hits the fan or even a smaller emergency. Like, okay, so let's go ahead. Nice stinky fart there, Mike.
You're welcome. Hey, you do it in my house all the damn time. And I've had to poop since before we started.
That's why I pre-pooped.
Well, I didn't have to poop until I sat down in this chair, and then the urge to poop hit me.
Right.
So I'm like, it's too late now. Got to keep going.
Yeah. So let's just take the total collapse of government, should hit the fan, off the table. What are you more than likely going to see happen as a disaster? Job loss.
Mm.
Happens to a lot of people. You know, whether it be temporary, long term, you know, your pay gets cut, you get laid off of work, something like that.
A number of things. And you know what's really scary? Because I'll occasionally listen to these podcasts where it'll talk about the unemployment rate. And it's funny,
which is ridiculously low right now, like 2%. Like,
I know.
It's hard to get it. It's hard to not get a job right now.
We're in a golden age right now.
Yeah.
But you know, the employment rate does not.
Thanks, Obama.
But you know, here's the fucked up thing about the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate does not take into account, it does not factor in those who don't have a job, but have had such a hard time finding one that they've given up. They're no longer actively looking for a
right.
job. And they are unemployed, but they're not counted in the unemployment rate.
Right. They're not. The unemployment rate is people that are unemployed and are actively looking for employment.
Yeah.
If you're a piece of shit bum, that doesn't account for you.
How bad off do you? I mean, does it got to be though that you've given up on looking? I mean, what? How do you live? How do you fucking live at that point?
I mean,
you've given up on getting a job. I mean, trust me. Don't get me wrong. I've been working at the same job. Next month will be 11 years. I had a point. I forgot. Fucking forgot what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like being at work all the time.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we both know a guy. That is on that list of people that have, that are not looking for it. Like our guy we know called Fruit Loop. I'm sure he's been unemployed for well over a couple years and really has no prospects. He's not looking for a job.
People can live live like that. I mean, I know how people, it's not living at that point. It's surviving and it's surviving, but that's a self-imposed survival hell. If you ask me.
Last time I talked to him, he had food stamps. I don't think he had an address, which I find to be interesting.
How do you get food stamps if you don't have an address? You have to have an address.
I don't know.
They don't accept P.O. boxes. They want a physical residence from you.
I don't know. Maybe he's just sending them Facebook updates. Like,
yeah, they don't.
This is my location right now.
Oh, my God. It's like, that's fucking hard.
But yeah, you know, you lose your job. If you can afford to keep, and you know, like we talk about, you should have a savings account, you should have money saved, maybe you can keep paying the storage unit and eat from the food you have stored in there. And then you're not worrying about,
ooh,
you know,
soup.
Keeping it in there. Or, you know, you lose your job, you go ahead and just pull the food that's stored out of there. Yeah, it's going to take up room in your apartment, but you don't have to worry about food. And then when you get another job, you get reemployment, you can start paying for, you can go get your storage unit back or get another one.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes the whole, you know, at the beginning of it, you don't have to worry about storage, and then you don't have to worry about food. And that takes so much off your plate to not worry about, how am I going to eat? How's my family going to eat? Fam, we got food. We're making pancakes this morning.
Yep.
So.
I mean, there are times where it's just necessary to tap into your fucking preps.
Yeah. And I mean, not recommending it. Not coming out of my mouth, but I have seen people that have lived in their storage units. Some of the sketchier ones, you can kind of pull it off.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that more people don't end up living in storage units. I mean, they have rules against that.
They do, and I've seen a lot of people do it. So, so another thing is a friend's place. Like, you know, you got a buddy that has extra room. Maybe you can put a shed on their land. They have land. Maybe they have an extra room, you know, or they have a huge backyard and you put a shed on it and you can store stuff there. And then you can come up with like a mutual agreement of like, bug out. Like, you know, so Mike, when we live in different places, like, you know, if a tornado tore up your land or if, you know, for whatever reason you had to bug out, invitation was there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and if you have some supplies stored at your buddy's house, it makes things easier. Like, you know, even something small, like a flood happened, you just can't get home. You're going to crash at your buddy's house. You got some clothes there, maybe some cash and some food. You're eating oatmeal for breakfast. You got to change your clothes.
No.
And you can wet wipe your ass.
You know, you have it listed as friends' places, but hell, at this point, at a certain point, you can just take places off. I mean, friends are a great prep in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like, you're my bestie, and we have basically, even though we speak about it, we have an unspoken agreement that we're there for each other.
Right.
I mean, fortunately, we both get paid bi-weekly, but our weeks alternate. He gets paid on the week I don't, and vice versa. I mean, we cover each other a lot.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just, we just know we can depend on each other. Friends are a great prep to have.
And I didn't put it on there, but family, you know, maybe you can store some stuff at a family's house.
I don't trust family.
Multiple places, is better off.
I trust my friends before I trust most of my extended relatives.
Right. So I think we're doing good on time, and I think we're coming up on the last one. We are good on time, and we are on the last one.
Plans
have to be in order.
Yes.
So what I'm talking about here is
plans. Write them out. Write them in triplicate. Fucking laminate them if you have to. Stuff
them. Definitely laminate them. Your bug out plans, your evacuation plans, all of your plans have to be in order, especially in an apartment, because you have to be organized to a T. If you're not, like, things can go so wrong in an apartment.
And you know when most people plan on doing this kind of thing? Tomorrow.
Yeah. Or oh shit, I never made a plan. Let me try to wing it.
Yeah, see, when the chaos actually happens, you need order on your end of it so you can survive that chaos. So you can make it through that chaos. If the chaos happens and you're just sitting there on an already made pile of chaos with no fucking plan, that's just more chaos. You add chaos to chaos, it doesn't, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, but three rights can make a left.
Yeah. Like, when you own your own place, it kind of takes some of the worry off on you and some of the things. Like, you're not dealing with neighbors to the degree you are when you could literally kick a hole in your door and see your neighbor. And they're surrounding you. You're not dealing with someone else who owns it. Like, say you have a crazy apartment owner and they don't like you, you know, doing the shit as fans. So, like, you've got that on your hand. By owning your place, you don't really have to worry about being evicted. And a lot of people think, well, the shit hit the fan, I don't have to worry about it. Well, if the shit hitting the fan is you losing your job, that's not affecting anybody but you and your family.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the big misconception most people make about the shit hitting the fan. It doesn't have to be a global or even a national catastrophe. It could be very localized. Localized, so localized that it's just at your mailbox.
Yeah.
Personal shit can hit the fan. Everybody's personal shit can hit the fan individually.
And is fairly likely to happen at some point.
Bad luck hits me in fucking chunks. I mean, just big, meaty, heavy, fucking sticky ass chunks.
I've had to shit hit the fan on me
a few times.
That good luck hits you in sticky face money shot clumps as well.
But I would love some normalis. I would love some evenness instead of the chunks hitting me from here and there. But then again, yeah, good luck does hit me in chunks too.
Yeah.
My life's almost got this natural balancing act going on. It's weird.
There's a Skylar.
Yep, there's.
Don't what fall down.
Bill Pickle?
You gonna come get internet famous and say hi on the podcast?
Come get internet famous. Hey! I said, what up, Bill Pickle? Thank you. It's raining.
You gotta put shoes on to go out there.
You really do. It's a swamp. Where were we?
Your plans have to be in order.
That's a prime example of not planning. He's about to head straight out that door in his socks. It is pouring down raining out there.
You know your mom's going, yeah, you're putting your school shoes on. Put your poop shoes on.
Yeah, put the poop shoes on. God, he's floundering. What is he doing?
Yeah. So, and if depending on the shit at the fan, you will probably still have to come up with rent at your apartment. You can't just, like, your plan to just live there rent-free, probably not going to work. Bill collectors, like cockroaches, will be some of the last to ever disappear.
Oh, yeah.
And they're gonna want their money. I better get my money.
Oh, God forbid you got student loans.
Oh, God.
Those motherfuckers will track you down to the ends of the fucking earth.
They will. They will.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Your plans in an apartment need to be next level in order. It's super raining, isn't it?
Yeah, I just literally heard the rain kick up to 11 out. Well, not 11, but it did go up a notch or two. Just
get a trash bag.
Yeah, that's just going to soak through and make you even wetter.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. So that's about all I've got. If you have some more independent, sort of very specific questions, drop me a line, jamesfarrellpunk.com.
Maybe we'll be able to focus on them.
I will either answer it directly, or I will we'll answer it in the next podcast.
Do you ramble like this when it's not me here?
Sometimes I get on my own little kicks.
Oh my god! I was just wondering if I just made the chaos more chaotic.
Sometimes. Can you not find the trash bags?
Finally, just stuff your head in the popcorn.
Next to bottom shelf of that white thing over there. So that's it. That's all I've got this week. Yeah, no, the big white thing on the wall. Turn around. That we put the stuff on. That white shelf. You're looking at it. Not the bottom shelf, the next to bottom shelf.
Yeah, you're soaking in it.
So yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this episode up.
Oh, we gotta wrap this up?
Wrap it up.
Okay, well, hell. Hey, we're coming in at right about the right time.
Yep.
Ah. Oh, I don't know, I felt completely unfocused for that.
Put it over your head.
What did you think we were going to have you do with it? Clean up the place? Bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it in. Yeah.
So on that terrible disappointment.
You mean the disappointment of Bill Pickle not being able to open up a garbage bag?
Yeah.
Well, on that terrible disappointment, I guess it is time for us to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett.
And remember, just because you don't have a lot of space, don't mean you can't put three times as much shit in that space than should by the laws of physics fit. Especially if you keep your child in a plastic bag, don't do that.
You can't put the babies in the plastic.
No, don't put the babies in the plastic.
DIY to prep small use, guys.
Use, guys!